Hello.
The ladies are ready to break chains.
It's the Proverbs 31 Ladies Night
on YET Radio.
Hello, ladies. Had a technical difficulty right there, but we are live and on the air on tonight. So excited to be your host on tonight, standing in the absence of Minister Rod. Had to take care and handle some business down there in the MOB. We miss you, sending a shout-out, and I love yous to you. And just wanted to check in right now to see how everybody is doing. We would love for you to give us a call at 858-357-9137. Of course, we are dealing with Proverbs 31 woman, and we're talking about who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Well, it is fantastic to hear all of our great and wonderful listeners out today, sending a shout-out to all of our family, friends, Facebook, Twitter, on Blog Talk Radio. Want to send a shout-out to you guys to see how you're doing. Again, you can welcome your calls at 858-357-9137. Well, we're going to be talking about several topics within our hour, dealing with everything from relationships with people, relationship with God, relationship with family, relationship with your spouse. So going to be having several subjects to talk about on tonight, and it's all going to be focused on, around, and with, and becoming that virtuous woman. The first thing that I would absolutely love to deal with is just dealing with relationships with people on our jobs, people in our homes, of course, as our family, our children, our spouses, and different things like that. When we're talking about relationship as a woman, many times women, because we've been through so much, one, just basically being a woman, that's enough in itself, but just dealing with all of the things that may occur as being a woman of God, just a woman in this world, it can be very taxing sometimes. So I just want to touch a little bit on relationships and how we can help make them better within our lives. Being a woman, it's kind of a very diverse thing. We're having to be so many different roles that we have to play, and everybody wants us to play those roles effectively, and they want us to do them on point, and they want us to do them when they're ready and when they want us to do, and they want us to tap dance to their puppet strings and all that kind of stuff. But we have to first learn how to take care of ourselves, to love ourselves, and, you know, to be understanding of who we are as women, and not to put ourselves on these pedestals of being able to be this superwoman. I'm sorry, fellas, we were not born with capes on our backs, and no, we cannot be that superwoman. They lied when they said that. She lied in her song, too, when she said it. But we are not superwomen. But the thing about it is that we are able to do the best that we can do when we do it. We always put forth that 100% effort in all the things that we do. And sometimes it gets taxing on ourselves, just being a woman, like I said before. But when we try to do and have relationships, sometimes it can get a little bit twisted or confused, and there are kind of lines that are blurred as to what it is that we're supposed to do as women and how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act and all that kind of stuff. It's too many stipulations that the world has put this model person before everybody's eyes, and if you don't live up to that, then you are not considered what they call a great woman or a good woman. But contrary to popular belief, just because you know how to cook doesn't make you a fantastic woman. It'll help. But just because you pick your kids up on time from school or drop them off or doing all your motherly duties or wifely duties, all that kind of stuff, all of that does not make you a great woman. What makes you a great woman first is having a fantastic relationship with the Lord. And I don't want to sound all religious and all that kind of stuff, because we don't want to deal with religion. We just want to deal with relationship right now. And a lot of times when we go through our day, Sometimes we hit the floor, some of us at 5 a.m., some at 6, some at 7, some at 3 for that matter. But when our feet hit the floor, we should have enough power within us that when our feet hit the floor, the devil say, God, dog, is she up again? And that's the kind of thing. We want to have the devil on the run, not the devil running us. So we need to have that relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, we will see that it'll actually disperse and dispel all of the things that are going on in our day. A lot of times, I said before, when we wake up early in the morning and, you know, we're starting our day, we're getting the kids ready, we're getting breakfast ready, we're making sure our husband is taken care of and he's off to work, and then after we do all of that, then we go in ourselves to work. But if you just wake up in the morning, sometimes you might have to wake up a little bit earlier before everybody gets to stirring around and before you're waking everybody up, and just talk to God. And just say, Lord, you know, just I need you today. I need you right now. I need you at this moment. I need you to guide me today. Just help me make great decisions about today. Whatever it is, I don't know what tomorrow brings, and I definitely don't know what today is bringing. But if you will just give me the wisdom for today, it says in the scripture, in that prayer, it said about Lord giving us daily bread. We don't need to worry about tomorrow, because we can't really change what's going to happen tomorrow, and we can't definitely change what happened in the past. But when we're living in the right now, be in this moment. At this moment, God, I just want to stop right now and just give you some recognition and to let you know that I appreciate you and that how I just value our relationship that we have. And, you know, just talk to God. Talk to him like you're talking to your best friend on the phone, or talking to one of your sisters in the ministry or anything like that. But God wants us to be intimate with him. And by intimate, I mean he wants to have a one-on-one relationship with us. And a lot of times when we start our day off like that and just acknowledging him for who he is, and just for him being God, not for all the stuff that he can do, he will do, he has done, that he's going to do, not for all of those things, but just because he is the one and only true living God. And when you just wake up with that on your mind, and not trying to be, again, super spiritual and all that kind of stuff, but if you make that one of the first things you do in the morning, you will see how the rest of your day will be smooth. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials and tribulations and all that stuff, because I'd be lying to you. And in the Bible, it does clearly say that we will have trials and we will have tribulations. But when you have God on the forefront of that and you have him leading you and guiding you, whatever comes at you or whatever the enemy tries to shoot at you or aim at you, that is diffused because you're covered in the blood. Nothing like being covered in the blood, especially waking up early in the morning and acknowledging that blood, you know, and just acknowledging the very presence of God and who he is. And as we develop our relationship more and more with God and the intimacy that we have with God, and you start doing your little talks, and some people say pray without ceasing, and that, and in the Bible it does say that, but it doesn't mean you walking around out there, oh Lord, this and oh Lord, no. Just when you're in your daily routines, whatever you're doing, oh God, I just thank you for that. You know, just a simple thank you, I love you. You know how you want your husband and he or your significant other text you a message saying, hey, baby, I'm just thinking about you. He don't even have to be having a long conversation. Just send you something like that, and you feel that little butterfly stuff on the inside, and you get all feeling all good and feeling loved. Well, that's the same thing with God. He wants us to do that exact same. Hey, God, you know, I'm just thinking about you right now. I love you. Just want to send up a I love you to you right now, just for you making it to work on time. Thank you, Lord, because it's somebody who was en route to work that didn't make it. And it was somebody who alarm clock went off this morning, and they didn't wake up. And it's just so many things that we can actually just give God praise for and just be thankful for him. And as our relationship with God increases, it then flows over into our relationship with our spouses, with our family, with our children, with our loved ones, and with our friends. Because when you have that relationship with God, you really get into a place of peace and in that place of peace, oh, my God, it's so, 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 so rewarding because it's a place where nobody can touch that place. It's peace, like in the Bible it says, that surpasses all understanding. He can give you peace, and it can be a tornado going on in your life. But because you have that relationship with God, it's just like when Jesus stood up in that boat and he said, "Peace, be still." And everybody was like, "Oh, my God, what manner of man is this that even the winds, they obey?" That means it was a storm out there brewing. And a lot of times in our own lives, there are storms that brew out there. And it's different things that occur in our daily lives, in our daily walks. It's stuff that we can't do anything about. And it's some stuff that we can do stuff about, but the wisdom is to knowing which one that you can do something about, then do that. And the ones that you can't, don't worry about it, because you can't be in faith and you can't be in fear at the same time. So you have to learn how to keep a balance with that and ask God for wisdom. He said if you ask him, he'll give it to you liberally. That means without restraint, he'll make it like a flowing river into your life. So that's just really about what I wanted to, you know, touch on a little bit about relationship with God. And so then when we get into dealing with those relationships and having those relationships with our spouse, and at first when you love God, loving your spouse is easy. When you love God first, loving your spouse is easy. And it's because when you know unconditional love, everything else becomes easier. God gives us unconditional love. He's the one that loves us past our sins that we've committed, the ones we're doing right now, and the ones that we're going to do tomorrow that we don't even know about yet. He loves us just that much. I mean, it's unreal, the love that God has for us. And when we get that understanding and that relationship with God, it'll help us become better women to be able to have fruitful relationships. And some of y'all might be out there saying, well, you don't know what I've been through, and this happened to me when I was a child, and this happened to me when I was little, or when I was in school, somebody hurt my feelings and all this kind of stuff. And yes, that stuff can and does shape who you are today. But see, the difference is when you have the love of God that is shared abroad in your heart and you have that relationship with God, he can break that yoke off of your life. He can really, really break that off of your life if you allow him to. But the thing about God, he's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to jump inside you and possess you and all that kind of stuff. That's the enemy. God does not do that. He is a loving God. He is a warm-hearted being. He is that entity that everybody dreams of in their mind, quote-unquote, as the perfect gentleman. That's what God is. He's going to respect the boundaries that you put up. If you don't want him around, he's not going to force himself on you. Now, I'm not saying that he's omnipresent, so his presence is always around you, period, no matter where you are. Because it says if you make your bed in hell, he'll be there too, if that's what you choose to do. But in a relationship with God, you will see that you can be so much more of a better woman, regardless of what happened to you as a child, or what happened to you when you were younger or in school, or somebody hurt your feelings or any of that. Because the thing about it is, he can bring you out of it. If you were introduced in it or to it, he can bring you through it. But the key thing is, do you have faith to believe that he can? Faith, that's what pleases God. You want to find out how to please your God? Have some faith. Because he turned around, and Jesus said it like this: if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and I don't know how many of you have ever seen a mustard seed, but it's a very, very small, small thing. I mean, it's about the size of a pinhead, like a straight pinhead. It's about that size. And he just said, if you have faith that size, you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Wow, how many of us have mountains in our lives? I mean, I'm saved, and there's some mountains in my life too. But the thing about it is when you apply that faith to that, that mountain will be removed. That's what I was saying about when it's a storm that's in your life or whatever's going on, he'll give you that peace that surpasses understanding. But at the same time, he will keep you covered while you're going through different things. But at the same time, you speak to that mountain. You don't let that mountain come in trying to rule what it is that you do. You speak to the mountain and you say, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And those are specific commands that you're giving to whatever mountain it is in your life. So, again, falling back to initially what we were talking about, which is relationships, having a relationship with God is one of the most important things that you could ever do for your own self. Again, like I was saying, like at the end of the day, we have given so much of ourselves as women, being the multitasker in the home. If you were at the beginning of your day and during your day giving God thanks and praise, and then at the end of the day give him another thank you, God, I just thank you for bringing me through this day. You know, because he watched over you while you slept last night. He watched over you all day today. And some of us are driving home from our jobs, and some are still at work, and some on your way into work. But God is still God. He still reigns, and he still sits on the throne of our lives. But it's nothing like being in a relationship with somebody that don't want to be in a relationship with you. Nothing like it. I'm sure every woman at some point in time has experienced that, loving somebody and they didn't love you back, and they took you through all this torment and had you doing all kind of crazy stuff you never thought you would do. But that's not how God is. He's the one that's standing there with open arms wanting to be in relationship with you. So much so, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to open up your heart to God on today? Oh, such a wonderful thing to be in a relationship with him. And when you find yourself sometimes you can find yourself so torn down and so weak and tattered and worn, and the only thing that you can get out is a wave your hand. That's what you do. You wave your hand. It's not in surrendering to the enemy, but just giving the Lord a praise offering with your hand. Nothing wrong with that, too. But sometimes when we get in a place, we just have to say, take me to the King. Take me to the King. I feel like hearing it right now. Let's hear some Tamela Mann with Take Me to the King.
I'm tired, options are few, I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray, what's left? Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
We are back. That is one of my favorite songs, Take Me to the King by Tamela Mann. And a lot of times if you listen to what the words of that song was, sometimes she said she just gets so tired. And it's something that we be going through a lot of times, and the options get few. We don't know what it is that we can do. But if you just simply go to the King, if you just simply go to the King, all of what you need, every answer that you need is in the mouth of the King. Will you hear his voice on today? I am Princess, and I'm welcoming you back to our show. And again, today we are dealing with different things, talking about many different topics. We welcome your calls. Give us a call at 858-357-9137. You don't have to let me talk by myself. I would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 858-357-9137. So right now we're just going to get a little bit into the analogy of the family, talking about being a wife and submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And a lot of people, when you say the word submission, they be like, oh, I ain't finna be doing all that now. You know, I'm already married. You know, I ain't finna be submitting myself to nobody. But when you find the correct, when you understand really, really, really what the word submitting means, then you'll be more apt to be in obedience of what God is requiring or asking us to do. A lot of people equate submission to, you know, being somebody telling you what to do and, you know, just being overrun with you, and the person who you're supposed to be submitting to doesn't understand what the submission itself means themselves. But to submit, it just simply means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. To be subject to someone, to surrender your will over to somebody or to the authority of another. But I'm just interested in knowing how come we can go to work and submit ourselves to our bosses, submit ourselves to those in authority at our jobs, but yet we don't want to submit to our husbands. Interesting. You'll go to work with somebody you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know who you're working with. You don't know them past their name, really. You might know some of their habits or something like that, and you're willing to subject yourself and come up under their subjection, but you're not willing to do it to the person you dedicated your life to and said before God, till death do us part. That's kind of interesting to me, you know. Again, in the Bible it talks about wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. And remember in the beginning when I was talking about that relationship that you have with God and how when it grows, you'll be able to hear God more clearly. You'll be able to hear what it is he's saying and really understand what it is that he's trying to get across to you. So when you submit yourselves unto your husband, because he is the head of the wife, Just like Christ is the head of the church and he's the savior of the body, husband is the head of the wife. And so church is also subject unto Christ. And in that same way that church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands. In what? In everything. But then it also turns around and says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So in doing that, it's a twofold blessing that's going to happen, because you're going to be in the order of what God has instructed us to do, and then you'll be being obedient to his word. And how can God not bless somebody who's doing exactly what he told him to do? He's not going to set you up for failure. God wants to bring you to an expected end. And he has nothing but good thoughts for you. He has nothing but good intentions for you. God is not out to zap you. That's not, I'm not sure what God that is, but it's not the only true and living God. It's not Jehovah Rapha. That's not, he doesn't do that, because he gives unconditional love. He's, if he's telling you to do something or not to do something, it's a reason for it. Now, in the midst of it, you may not see or know what the reason is, but it's a reason for that. I would love to hear from you. Give me a call, 858-357-9137. Love to hear your comments and what it is that you would, or what it is that you think about submission to your husband. Again, that's an interesting thing. People go to work and they'll submit themselves to somebody that they don't know, but will not submit themselves to somebody who they have committed their lives to. So it then bears the question, is your husband sleeping with the enemy? Interesting. I just wanted to get that out, you know. But when you submit yourselves unto your husband as the head of the church, again, I was saying, I mean, like Christ is the head of the church, you're being obedient. You can't really be the husband and the wife. A lot of times we as women, we become so bullheaded and all that kind of stuff until we kind of blur the lines as the role and what our role is. And our role is really to support our husband, to be there for him, any decision that he made. Not to say that he's not going to, you know, come to you, hey, babe, what you think about this? Or, you know, that kind of, he's going to take what you say into consideration. But ultimately, he's the one who has to answer to God, because he is the head of the wife. And so when you going around and acting, you know, how we can be sometimes, he going to the Lord and say, all right now, Lord, all right now, what you want me to do? You know what I mean? I mean, you gave it to me. What you want? I mean, I don't know what to do in this particular situation. So when you're not being submitted, be careful of those seeds that you're sowing. That's a seed. When you're being submissive to your husband, it's actually a seed of discord that you're showing. You have to let your husband be the husband and you be the wife and the children be the children, because what if the children turn around and start being the husband? And then the husband turn around and trying to be the wife, and the wife turn around trying to be the children. What kind of order is that? Ooh, could you imagine living in a place like that? But when you know your role and you can do it effectively and efficiently, wow. Wonder what wonderful things and what great things would happen in your home. It would be so in order. It would be so peaceful. And all of those things. And some people say, well, in a relationship, it's a 50-50 relationship. Don't you do that. Why would you give half of yourself? A relationship takes 100% of the husband doing his job at 100% and 100% of the wife doing her job at 100%. Defining roles, what is it? I mean, a wife doesn't mean that's the person who wash the dishes, clean up after everybody, do all the quote-unquote what people have labeled womanly duties. No, guess what? You have to share that responsibility, because, see, back in the day, women really didn't work. Right now, it's almost a necessity that the woman works in order to keep the household afloat. So that's how come jobs then become dispersed. Okay, well, he like cleaning this, let him clean it. If you like doing that, you do that. It's called a relationship. You have to be able to relate to one another, but you still have to do it in submission to one another. Man submitting, husband submitting himself to God, wife submitting herself to husband, children submitting themselves to the parent. So it's not really like it's really, really hard to understand. It's just the matter of understanding what your role really, really is as a woman. So again, when you're not being obedient to the word of God, then you're being disobedient and you're sowing those seeds. And especially if you have daughters, you want them to be brought up in a way to where they understand what the wife role is and a husband understand what his role is too. I'm not going to let y'all get off that easy, men, because sometimes it becomes a situation where the men are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which makes the wife then have to kick in the overgear to try to cover for us both, or rather cover for you both. So don't stress yourself out like that. And husbands, don't allow your wives to be stressed out to that magnitude to where she's doing the job of both of you. Allow her to be the wife. A lot of them don't want to submit because you won't really allow them to be what it is that they are actually called to do, but extending them beyond their point of what it is that they can do. And so that's how come a lot of people feel, that's how why women have like the highest rate of depression. Women have the highest rate of anxieties. Women have all of these different cancers and all these different diseases. All of that stuff cumulatively is the woman who has it. And it's because the woman tends to harbor. She really wants to keep peace, but we as women tend to harbor, and we don't have to do that. Well, only thing that we have to do, just like it was said in that song, take it to the king. Give them your offering. It don't matter what it is you're bringing them. You don't have to offer bulls and doves and turtle doves and bullocks and goats and all that kind of stuff. You offer up a sacrificial or a sacrifice of praise unto God. Just giving him total praise. God, I just thank you. God, I love on you. I just appreciate you. You know, that's one of my favorite things to say. God, I just appreciate you. You know, it's just like in the Bible, it says, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. Oh, man. Oh, man. For every second that you're living, you ought to give them thanks and give them praise. Just total, total praise. Just lift up your hands and just give them praise. You don't have to do all that crazy stuff. Jesus became the sacrifice for us. He became the curse for us so that we don't have to work to walk under curses. He's blessed us. And the only thing that we have to do is walk under the blessings of God. That's all. So like I was saying before, with the women, you're sowing the bad seeds of not being in order in your home. It's actually, children are tape recorders. They remember what they want to remember. They remember everything that we don't want them to remember. And they remember nothing of what we want them to remember. Tell them to clean their room, they can't remember that. But if you tell them 5 months ago I'm going to get you a game, they remember that. But only thing I'm saying is you want to sow good seeds as far as being obedient to the word of God and following that order that he has put in place. And it's a reason that it's done that way, because when we are left by ourselves, and yes, we are the weaker vessels. I mean, we are. I'm all for women being liberated and free and able to vote and all that. I'm not talking about that. We are the weaker vessel. Just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam told Eve what the tree was for and what not to do to the tree, if she would have submitted, probably wouldn't be where we are today as women. And no, we wouldn't, because it would be totally different, because then it would have been obedience. But because of her disobedience to her husband, which was the complete instruction that her husband had from God, God gave the instruction to the man. The man gave the instruction to the woman. The woman was the one who disobeyed. Hey, it is what it is. She disobeyed. The woman did it. That's how we got here, where we are today, because of her disobedience. That's why we have labor pains today, because of the disobedience of her against what her husband had told her. It's a reason that all of those things are in order like that. So we don't want to sow bad seeds into our children, because in the Bible it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we want to be able to allow our children to see us being obedient. There's nothing wrong with being submissive to your husband. Nothing at all wrong with that. But it's just the way that the world has put their magnifying eyes on stuff and warped it to a way that it seems like it's not right. But it's very right, and it's very real. I feel like listening to me a little bit of this total praise, because in all things we want to make sure that we give God all of the praise, all of the glory in everything that we do. Such a humbling time right now, just because God is just so good. He is just so, so good. And women of virtue, stand up and be that virtuous woman. It was a question that was asked. Who can find her? For her price is far above rubies. But God, I know that I'm not that 100% virtuous woman, but I thank you, and I know that I'm not perfect, but I do thank you, Lord, that in you I can do all things. I just praise you for that on right now. Let's hear a little bit of that total praise by Richard Smallwood. Here we go. Of course, that was Total Praise by Richard Smallwood. Fantastic song. I absolutely love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It's one of my favorite gospel songs. Even today, even as old as it is, Lord, I lift my hand in total praise to you. Amen, amen. Well, brethren, we are talking about, and sisterin, we are talking about relationships on today and, you know, being obedient to, or rather submissive to our husbands and relationship with family and friends. And one of the things that we as women, we often have friends that, you know, we grew up with or we met in elementary school and, you know, we was, hey, my name's such and such, hey, my name's such and such, and we meet them and we go on and we begin to get this bond with them. And from that bond, we then carry it all the way over into middle school, and then, you know, we're growing older and everybody's maturing, getting a little bit more mature, and then continue on and we're meeting and we're greeting our friends, and then we'll meet them all the way to high school. You know, we go with them all the way from elementary through high school, sometimes through college, and we become the best of friends. And then one day something happens. It can be because of a boyfriend. It can be because somebody gets jealous, because somebody gets envious, because something happened, no communication goes on, and you are extremely upset with your best friend. What is it that you would do when you're upset with your best friend? Would you let the friendship dispel? Or would you fight for that friendship? And sometimes a lot of people say, well, I just let it go. You know, we grew apart, blah, 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 and I just don't like her no more or him no more, and we just grew apart. But really, was that it? Sometimes we can be upset with our good friends and in those relationships. So much was built into it. You know what I mean? It was so much love and so many experience and so many different things that happened and that were built enough to make that particular thing be where it can be actually called a friendship, and then something happens. And then that friend does something to hurt that other friend. And you sitting up there, well, I'm not going to let nobody, you know, do me like this and blah, blah, blah. And a whole, more times than not, it was something so minute. Sometimes you can't even remember what it was about. But sometimes it's so minute. And you really, really, when you get out of your anger mode and you really sit down and think about what happened, again, sometimes you can't even remember. And other times it was something so simple that could have been taken care of with two little words. And those two words are, I'm sorry. Sometimes we got to learn to say I'm sorry even if you are not even the one in the wrong. Sometimes you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to walk away. But it's sometimes when a simple I'm sorry can salvage a friendship that has been 10, 20 years, and all it can take is I'm sorry, and you can get that friend back. Just think about it. Is there anybody in your life that you were friends with and something crazy happened? Y'all could have been in y'all 20s and 30s. Still been friends, and something crazy happened. And then you just let all of that valuable time be wasted. It takes a lot, especially nowadays, to call somebody a friend. And when you have a friend, you tend to give to that person. That person has given of you. That person has required your time. You have required time of that person. Sometimes you have helped them in difficult situations. That person has helped you in difficult situations. Sometimes they talked you through a midnight hour. You didn't talk them through a midnight hour. And all of that is the basis of what the entire friendship was based on. It was what it was all about. And then especially the ultimate thing, y'all loved one another as friends, you know, and then sometimes we allow different things like that to get in the way of our friendship. And if we just go back and reflect on it just for a few minutes, you know, nothing all crazy or anything like that, and be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Talk to your friend. We're dealing with relationships. Talk to your friend. See what it's all about. Right now we have a caller on the line. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Hey.
Hey.
I wasn't expecting no coming on the air tonight, Princess. I was just listening.
You were just listening? I'd have put you on the air, darling. I'd have put you on the spot. You got to be on the spot. We've been rolling with this thing almost an hour in right now, family. We welcome in the Minister Rod, taking care of some business, doing a check-in on us to see how we're doing. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Just a blessing to have you on tonight. I got to, you know, as the old saying, give a person the roses while they can smell them themselves. Family. My sister is on the air, and I just thank God for her. You know, I give him the glory to allow the opportunity for her to come on and do the show tonight and to be able to run with this Proverbs 31 virtuous woman. And talking to Mama Shirley today, oh, my goodness. That's the fire. and I, just being honest, being real, and it's exciting because I have an opportunity not to have to be on the radio on Tuesday nights and just let the ladies, the women, our mothers, sisters, you know, our where we come from, who brings us into this world to be able to have an opportunity to just talk about things and come together one-on-one as what you're doing. And I just wanted to call and say thank you and God bless you and, you know, we love you for it.
Oh, thank you. Such a humbling experience. We've just been talking about relationships on tonight, dealing with the husbands and family and friends and all that kind of stuff, and just having our relationship with the ultimate relationship that we really, really talked about for a minute there was having a good relationship with God. You know, you can't really have a relationship with everybody else if you don't first understand how to have that intimate one-on-one relationship with the only true and living God.
Amen. Well, we thank you for bringing us on, and I'm going to step out of the scene now, and we love you once again. I love you so much, Princess, and thank you, and I'm looking forward to this show growing because it's growing now. Let me say it publicly. She has a bunch of downloads from her first show. It was my fault. She missed last week, so she's back on tonight, and let's build and let's grow. We kingdom builders out here, and you're listening to Break and Chain. Proverbs 31 Women, motivational night is every night. So thank you very much, and I love you.
Love you too, darling. Have a good night.
You too.
Of course, that was our very own Minister Rob handling some business down in the MOB. That's Mobile for everybody who doesn't know where the MOB is. We have it going on down there, so such an honor and privilege to speak with him on tonight. But getting back to what we were talking about, having those relationship with those friends, and when certain times that the relationships are coming up and, you know, we have lost our way with that particular friend or whatever, and just being able to call them and say, you know, I'm sorry, whatever, you also, it's your duty as a Christian woman, if you have a friend, to go to that friend. If you see your friend overtaken in the fault, you need to go to him. Go to him in the spirit of meekness, because if you are at discord with somebody, you can't really go to him and, you know, be like all in their face and all that kind of stuff. No, because they're not going to be able to receive you, one, because it's discord already there. So you have to go into them in the spirit of meekness. And meekness does not equate weakness. Two totally different things. Jesus was meek, but he was in no wise weak. And so we as women have to learn how to be able to appreciate friendships that we have. Definition of meek is so simple. It just says humbly patient or overly submissive or compliant. We want to be meek. And, again, when you're dealing with somebody that you have an ought against, you go to your sister or to your brother in the fruit of the Spirit. You want to go to them real gentle, real meek, especially if y'all have a long history of a relationship together. You want to show mildness. You want to show that, yes, I'm willing to make this friendship work. Y'all have invested. So a friendship is an investment. And when you invest in anything, it will definitely yield a return on what it is that you're investing in. And if you want their return to be something positive, then you have to make good investments. Again, sowing good seeds, because if it were you, you would want somebody to do it for you. Again, saying that verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes you're so foggy and upset with somebody, you can't even see the peace that's right in front of you from the cloud that's around your head. And sometimes it's just as simple as, again, as saying, I'm sorry. And a lot of times, love, all the time, because it says it in the Bible, it says love covers a multitude of sin. Don't let that friendship die away like that. I know it's somebody out there right now listening. You have an old friend that you had a relationship with. Why don't you give them a call? See how they're doing. You never know what's going on in their life. Allow the Lord to lead you. He'll never lead you or steer you in the wrong direction. He doesn't know how to do that. That's not in his makeup. That's not in his nature. He will lead you and guide you into all truth, whatever it is that you need. And as we are coming to the end of our hour, again, it has been such a blessing to be able to speak with you about relationship with God. Of course, it's the most important one. Relationship with our family, relationship with our friends. All of that is very, very important. So we want to take this time to acknowledge we are breaking chains all over the world. We are not going to conform to this world, but we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. We just want to thank you all for listening on tonight. We pray that your fallow ground of your heart was broken up, that you were ready, willing, and able to receive that word. Praying the prayer of salvation. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. We believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead on the third day, and that he is your son, O God. We thank you, Lord God, and we ask that you forgive us and cleanse us from all sins and bring us back into right standing with you, God. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit on the inside of us. Until next time, you be blessed.